Very good evening and welcome back to yet another episode of the Mari Podcast. I am your usual host and my name is Kudzai, and here we help you to make sound financial decisions. Just to recap and to remind you of our website, mari.co.zw, where you can find all of our past podcasts and you can find also all of our future podcasts so that you can be able to make those sound financial decisions. Again, you can also engage with us on Facebook, as well as on The Bird, on Twitter, or on Twitter if you're from Zimbabwe. And the handle there is in both instances at Mari Podcast. Take note as well that if you would want to receive these podcasts straight into your WhatsApp, we do have a number of broadcast groups. And please take note that these are not open for discussion. If you want to be the one that discusses, then we can also be, you know, you can also just reach out to us and we'll let you know and share the link for the discussion group. And so this particular evening, we want to take a look at the next topic under our managing money in COVID times, personal finance, reworking our personal finance under COVID times. And today we're looking at the subtopic financial planning. I want to start by saying that in spite of what you may have gone through as a country, in spite of what you may have gone through as an individual, whether it be growing up to now, it is still very possible to plan for your money. If anything, you must get confidence from the fact that there are still individuals who are trained and certified across the world as financial planners. They write exams for it. There is an entire board that verifies that they have ability. And you will take note that these people have always been there, and these people are still there, and very likely they'll always be there as long as there is money. As long as there is money and there is life, we will need to plan our finances. And so it is important to begin to reflect and say and appreciate the fact that if you aim at nothing, you will surely hit it. If you start off the year aiming at absolutely nothing, you are guaranteed that by the end of the year, financially, you would aim that which you'd have aimed for, you will certainly achieve. And so on the flip side, I also want to submit and say it is very feasible that once you've made some kind of a financial plan, you can be able to make adjustments as you go. And at the end of the year, you can be able to point out specific movements that have happened within your life. I always like to use what I call the three A's when it comes to financial planning. And I want to start by asking, what is financial planning? When you speak of financial planning, it is basically saying one is coming up with a position that they want to be in the time to come, and there are steps that they begin to take starting from today. And I'm giving you an extremely simplistic view. It's basically saying, how will I manage money today to make sure that I achieve a certain end goal in the time to come? And so the three A's that one must begin to think around firstly is then to say, as you begin to walk the path of financial planning, let me assess myself. At any one point in time, at any one moment in time, you must be able as an individual, you must be able as a family, you must be able if you're running a business, as an institution, to sit down and assess yourselves. And this is basically asking yourself simple questions like, where are we? Not only that, not only must you audit yourself and take stock on the daily, and perhaps let me say, you know, at least quarterly, you want to be able to look out and say to yourselves, this may be where we are today. But what is the aspiration? Where do we desire to be? Where do we want to end up? What are our dreams? What are our hopes? What is the future that we imagine? What vision do we have or do I have at a financial level? And I want to say that the last A that I do propose is the fact that once you've assessed where you are and you can see where you want to go, you can be able then to say, what are the actions that I must take? There must be actions that move you from the place where you are now to the place that you aspire to go. And so still on that assessment tip, I want to say, as you begin the exercise of financial planning, one of the very first thing you want to reflect on is what we call net worth. And in its very simplistic view, we are basically saying you want to be able at any one point in time to appreciate what you own versus that which you owe. And at best, you want to make sure that this is positive. So in life, continue to pursue a positive net worth, where you are saying at any one moment in time, the things that I own, if I have a car and I have a stand and I have a 3-bedroomed house somewhere in Sunningdale and I have 5 goats and 4 cattle and 6 wukudzeshi boy, I must be able to come up with figures for each of those things and say, these are the things I own, you know, including your laptop for some. I think I need to be much more simpler. Even that phone, if it has any kind of value, it is something that you own. And so you could perhaps be saying, at this instance, everything that I own would total or would have a value, a sum of some $60,742.33. And you'd want to then compare that which you own, that which belongs to you, which has value, versus that which you owe. In other words, the things that you ought to pay other people for. So maybe makatura dovi pa next door 4 bottles and inguva ye shut down or your lockdown. And so you're owing $4. And then you know you owe also for mabroila 4. And you know that you are running a loan with a bank which is in line with your salary, so it is a consumer loan, and everything that you owe, if you were to put it together, the loan, not so much the repayments per month, but everything you were to pay, if today you were asked to just settle that loan, you would pay perhaps $1,044.33. That's what you owe. And then, of course, Mariedo Yaridzi, and then, of course, the Wukudzeshi Boy, and whatever other place where you may have obligations. It could be a credit account with Truworths. If you combine everything that is due from you, we would say that is what you owe. And so the difference between that which is yours and that which is due to you versus that which is owed, and in other words, that which is due from you, what you remain with after you've paid off everyone whom you owe, would speak to what you would call your net worth. Now, it's a very interesting concept because in the lightest of senses, or in a very simplistic term, a simplistic way, you may imagine that there are certain people who you know who are in negative net worth, and yet on the face of it, they look like they have more money than you. So they have properties in different places. They have many high-end vehicles. They perhaps even have a farm or two. But the things that they owe in terms of the debt they have, etc., etc., it may not be surprising to find someone who, at the face of it, may seem like a millionaire or a thousandaire, actually having a negative net worth. Meanwhile, you that are seated in Waterfalls or in Parktown actually are on a better place from a point of net worth. And so very, very important that you be able to sit down and assess yourself and say, what is my state of owing? What is my state of owning? If you were to do the exercise, then certainly it would just be taking a piece of paper and putting those two things side by side. And if you had more time, you would go in even to further assess amongst the things that you own, what really actually gives you value. I want to quote one good colleague of mine who says, you know, assets that are things that you'd call assets are things that feed you, things that feed you, things that put money into your pocket. But even on that long list of things you own, you may realize that there are also some things that turn out to become a liability, in the sense that they actually take money from your pocket, and so they eat you. But that's a discussion from another day. Let me just say, at a very simplistic view today, your net worth is basically, what do I own in this life? What do I owe? The difference between the two is what you are worth. Now, looking at it, financial planning, I want to say it is important that you and I have an understanding that at any one point in time, we are living life according to time. So time is a very important thing that ties in with our financial aspirations. And so it is important that when we begin to plan, we have a mindset that says there is a short-term period. There are things that will happen in between this year to the next 3 years. So 1 to 3 years is what we would call short-term financially. There is a medium-term period, which is any period between 3 years all the way up to 5. And then there's what we'd call long-term, which is 5 years plus. And so you want to make sure that you are covered for every one of these periods of your life. You must have a plan in the very short term. You must have a plan for today. You must have a plan for the rest of this year. You must have a plan for the next 3 years. That is your short-term plan. You must also have a medium-term plan. You must also have a long-term plan. And many times these plans really come out of things we aspire to do and to be in life. Because ultimately, everything we want to possess, it may be tangible or intangible, comes down to the bottom line of money. It must be paid for. I want to go to school. I want to become a doctor. I want to be a PhD. That means I've got to spend some money in the medium term. I want to build a house. I've got to spend some money in the medium to long term. I want to take a child to nursery school. I've got to spend some money in a short term. Everything we require, everything we desire to do, certainly will come down to figures somehow. And so we want to make sure that we say to ourselves, we do have some level of income happening in our lives. We have something that is coming in. Let us be able to actually channel that money in a good direction. Now, I've never been one of those financial wellness coaches who believes in pinching pennies so much that you hardly ever enjoy life. In fact, I want to say, like Buddy, you want to make sure that when you live this life, you pay as you go. There's really never a perfect moment when you say, I've got it all together. Let me now eat and make merry. I personally believe strongly in balance. And when I talk about balance, particularly when I talk about balancing on the budget, which is a topic we'll do as a standalone this week, I am a believer that that budget must reflect even the things we enjoy doing. So there's absolutely no harm in eating a bit of chocolate, in having that bottle of whatever is your favorite beverage, and making sure that none of these things are done in extremes. Planning must take account of living, the serious things that we want to do in life, but also just living life as we go. And so I want to say that as we speak about planning, there are four key pillars you want to make sure that you take care of that cover your short, medium, as well as your long term. And the four pillars are as follows. The first thing you want to plan for is lifestyle, and this is in the short term. You want to also make sure that this is something you can carry on into the medium and to the long term. And you may find that there may be changes according to your level of income in that lifestyle. But if you take care of lifestyle, you will take note that it will be very easy to plan your life. You want to make sure, number two, that you take care of emergencies. And I cannot overemphasize this particular one, because as we speak right now in the comfort of our homes, or when you go outside, when you're wearing masks, it is because the whole world is living under a global pandemic. It is an emergency. It is something that none of us expected would come. We all started the year, many of us started the year 2020 with a whole number of new resolutions, and particularly because some felt it was a brand new decade, all right? And I think that actually settles that argument now, whether 2020 or 2021. We all know that 2020 is finishing off this one, and we are now starting a new slate from 2021, provided it doesn't throw something like this at us again. But in an emergency situation like this, we can never be able to budget or plan for every single little thing. So it is important, as pillar number two, to make a plan for emergencies. And the last two pillars of the four are what you call in the long term, and perhaps I would say for some in the medium to the long term, issues to do with retirement and legacy. If those four pillars of planning your life are covered, may I submit to say and say to you confidently that you will be covered for everything you need in this life and potentially even in the life to come. So let me just quickly unpack each of these four pillars and we will be done with today's podcast. The first one is the pillar of lifestyle. The best way to win on money, and we did say something around this yesterday, is just to basically live the life you can afford. And so take note, I am saying that you must live like someone poor, neither must you live like someone who's popping bottles on the daily. But at any one moment in time, you can be able to assess yourself, check your income, and then make sure that your expenses, the lifestyle you choose, is informed by the income you have. Now, I have met a whole lot of people who have questioned this and fought this and said, no, I prefer to live on the edge. I want to dictate the kind of life I want to live, and then that forces me to make the money. Granted, there are people who are able to do that. But for the average person, it is well beyond our ability to determine a lifestyle first and then try and make the money. For most of us, we will be in that percentile. If it was a normal curve, it would show you that the majority of us fall into the group of people that first have to make the money, now have it in their hand, realize the money, and then say to themselves, what lifestyle can I afford? And so I would say that for the average person, your income is what should be dictating how you live. Now, let me bring that into context concerning these times. And I did begin to say something around that yesterday, to say if your income per adventure was 1,000 Zimbabwe dollars for the sake of mathematics, because you know, anything odd would be very difficult to calculate. And you are fortunate enough to still have that level of income now, you could hazard to say you could be able to live, you know, on a lifestyle that is matching that $1,000. But more often than not, we tend to realize that when we are moving in life, there are ups and downs in income. And the temptation that is great is to say, when I've moved from 1,000 and to 1,500 or 2,000, I make sure that my lifestyle tallies. May I propose that each of us find a certain level of decent living? Now, how we spend our money is never the same. You can take two people with very similar circumstances. So perhaps they're working for the same company, same grade, same notch, and they're being paid exactly the same amount of money down to the last cent. And it may happen peradventure that by some coincidence, they have similar family backgrounds or family setups, similar kind of obligations or none. Assuming that there are two people who are almost exactly the same, we would still find that because of individuality, they would spend money differently. And I want to free you by saying there is absolutely nothing wrong. Now, I know many of us have read books, heard sermons, heard teachers who say, you must do this, and whatnot. That's not living, guys. But at the same time, we must not go to the extreme where all of the money we receive, we do join Mafaro, and then we cannot be able to cover the basics of life. You know, it reminds me when I was a child, because I like chocolate, how I would dream about the fact that when I finally have a salary and income of my own, I'll buy as much chocolate as I want. And when you finally have the capacity, you realize that you actually miss salads and vegetables. You cannot live on chocolate alone. Sounds like a Bible verse. And so choosing a lifestyle that you can afford at that moment in time is one of the winning ways of financial planning in the short term. And the tool that will help you to do that is the budget, which we'll treat in the next few or so days. But suffice to say, in this particular period, it is important that you live life, as some have said, where you act according to your wage. Appreciating the fact that at any point in time, you can then be able to move a notch higher. So how about you master managing money at the level you are? If you're making $100, then you want to make sure that your lifestyle choices match the $100. You want to make sure you live in a place that you can be able to pay for. You want to make sure that you drive what you can be able to pay for. What I love about Zim is that even in a normal circumstance, even now, there is something for every pocket. If it is food, there is food for every pocket, depending on whether you have $10, $100, or $1,000. All of you can eat white meat. The one with $1,000 can buy chicken and fish. The one with $10 or $20 can buy that other white meat, aka lacto. But we all eat. In Zim, anybody at any level of income will wear clothes. The only difference is some are going to buy their clothes off the rack, and they're going to pick them up brand new from a rack, complete with tags, while they are standing up. Others might have to bend down in order to select their clothing. But even so, all will be clothed. And so it is important to appreciate that there are lifestyles, choices that we can be able to make. And again, none of us would prescribe to you the things you must do when it comes to lifestyle. You must choose. You sit down with a partner or with family, or if you're staying alone, you choose to say, what are the things I value? I've come across people who value food more than anything. So on $1,000 with similar circumstance, that person will spend $500 on food and $500 on every other thing. They don't care much about where they stay, as long as there's an address and, you know, they can get there and they have a room. In fact, I was reading someone chuckling to myself last night where someone says, you know, the beauty or the advantage of having one room is unomuka, you don't have to go to the next room. So people who value food may not really have a great desire for lots of furnishings. But again, I've also met people who value their vehicles. So that person themselves will, you know, look a little bit scruffy, but the car will smell better than the owner. It will have mag wheels, it will be polished, you know, with a proper radio, and it's washed twice a day, you know, and the owner themselves hardly can get themselves into a shower. That's what they value. Absolutely nothing wrong with spending your money on the things that you desire, choosing a lifestyle that you choose according to your preferences, as long as you make sure that you balance out. And this one, I'm really hoping that you begin to share this podcast series, because that is in the intention over this lockdown with your spouses or spices, if you have more than one. It's spices, isn't it? at home, because many times when I get into companies, do financial wellness, many times when I go into institutions, do financial wellness, you know, mom is there, but dad isn't. Dad is there, but mom isn't. A mom is there, but the son or the daughter isn't. Or the daughter is there, but the parent isn't. Or your brother, your sister is not there. People who may benefit from this content. Because I take note also that when it comes to lifestyles, you really cannot be able to dictate all by yourself. It's got to have the buy-in of everybody, if it is a family, for anything to work. So very important that you appreciate that. Very important that you choose a lifestyle that at that point you can afford. And it's up to you what the permutations and combinations for that lifestyle will be in terms of what you eat, what you wear, what you drive, where you live, how you do your hair, and all of those day-to-day lifestyle choices, which I cannot exhaust in this podcast. Second pillar, which is extremely important for financial planning, is to be ready for emergencies. Now, growing up, my mom would take us to my father's rural home, to the Marere homestead, which is in Chakowa, in Chimanimani, and I'm a Chimanimani girl. And so I always boast that Tistinendege Humusha, because, you know, Chimanimani is still doing the routes. Air Zimbabwe still just has Chimanimani playing, you know, many of the routes, or literally all by itself. So kwati tinongoti ano I ndege kumusha. And of course, you know how we spell Chimanimani. It's Chimoney, Chimani as in dollars, Chimani money. Now, you take note that when we were going that far, we would get into buses like Tenda or into BNC. And I recall that when you'd get into that bus, because we'd sit sometimes with my two siblings and our mom, all four of us on what would be an ordinarily a three-seater seat. And you may find that on some of those seats, there this really huge glass that was written, in case of emergency, kick out panel. And up to this day, I'm pretty curious, because I've never really been in a situation like that. I'm curious how it actually works. But the thinking behind that, or the engineering, was that if anything were to happen such that the people who are in the bus need to escape pretty quick, instead of everyone piling up at the door, those that are seated near those kind of glasses, because they wouldn't be able to be opened, it's just one big panel of squarish glass, would kick out that panel and perhaps jump out and get the help that they require, or jump out as a way of saving their own lives. And so they made a provision for emergencies. Now, my question to you is, in this time is, were you ready for an emergency like this? There are lots of emergencies, things that happen that we cannot prepare for and be able to predetermine in life. There are things like sicknesses, there is fire, there are natural disasters, you know, like Cyclone Idai. No one saw that coming. And, you know, in the sense of, you know, the ordinary person would not have really, you know, been able to see it, except perhaps people in the Met department. But the average person would not have seen that coming. You know, things like fire, theft, accidents, death. These are life things that just occur, acts of God sometimes, you know, and we are living under one such large emergency. The third pattern has always been, and the thinking and the theory is, you must always have an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months cover. And I know many people have said, ah, Zimbabwe, twist my emergency fund, you know, try Romari Rosos. But guys, I think we are only just literally 5-6 weeks in on lockdown, and some of us at Operamoto, literally living hand to mouth is what most of us do. I want to submit with the greatest of respect this thought pattern that says, this is a good opportunity and a time for us to begin to rethink the things that could potentially happen, and say to ourselves, it is important that I set up some kind of an emergency fund. Now, the special thing about Zimbabwe is, you will not do it the way other countries do necessarily, to put money in a bank. They would ordinarily say, whatever your income is, whether you're employed or self-employed, or you do day-to-day, uneka level ke income ka unozwa pa mwezi, no batamari ya kat pa week. You know, that amount times three, if you can, times six, should be able to tide you over for the average emergency. They've said concerning COVID-19 that we're not too sure how long it may take. We can only be clear perhaps in the next 18 to 24 months, certainly. So that's about 2 years. But assuming that it takes that long, are you covered? And assuming that it's even short, you know, are you covered up to the 17th when we finish this particular cycle? And so for those of us that have been in really bad places, you realize that folks that had a bit of money stored aside, even if it was 1 month cover, you could then make that money stretch because you had something, you had a soft landing. And may I submit tonight that it is important that going forward, as we reorder our lives, not only do we just live lifestyles, but we make some form of provision through an emergency fund. It need not be the Zimbabwe dollar. We all know what it does. I mean, those of us that are old enough can be able to relate every single thing that happened to money since 1980 until now. I'm old enough personally to remember the crash of the Zimbabwe dollar on the 14th of November, 1997. And you know, we are literally heading towards the 25th anniversary of that event, and still our lives have not, been phenomenally changed. There've always been shakings in the middle. And so, in as much as people did lose money, and we'll speak to this when it comes to investments, there are still ways you can be able to make provisions for emergencies. It must be done. The list of the actions you can do is to make sure that you have insurance, even Zimbabwe dollar insurance. Guys, if your car is hit by another car, win a comprehensive insurance. It may not get you a brand new vehicle in its entirety, but unombogadzirisawo, which is simuka uchienda. Extremely necessary to do. So emergencies. And then the last two things, which I'll sort of tie together, are retirement and legacy, because they are also two standalone topics. I want to say, as we also plan for our lives, not only should we look at the short-term lifestyles and emergencies and medium-term, but let's also look into the very long-term. It is said that anybody who is 25 and above is ripe and ready to start on a retirement plan. Where will you go when you retire? I hear people who say that, yeah, but they try to do these things, they got my policy in HH. Yes, I know that there's a generation that had their plans literally swept off, but you and I must begin to learn. When we emerge from this, what will we have learned? We need to come out with clear plans around those of us who are 30, those who are 38, those who are 37, those who are 50, those who are 20, thinking around how will they retire? And I want to submit to you that there are possibilities of certain assets and certain investments that can be made, even for that person for whom Zimbabwe is the plan. That person who says, look, it's unlikely I'll be able to leave this country. There are still things that you can be able to do as part of your financial planning. And just to give you a preempt, I'll preempt that one of the things that has done very well over the time, in terms at least of preserving value in Zim, is property. And please, by property, we are not referring to pushing trays and room dividers and dining tables, not even my sofa. That is nothing in the scheme of things. We're talking about land and buildings. It's very important that as soon as we can, we secure the land, we secure buildings, if only just to preserve value. And so this is a thought pattern I always challenge, particularly those who are younger, to say, as you go and grow, please make sure that you secure land as soon as you can. Here's the last thing that you want to think about when you think about financial planning, and that is legacy. Many of us came from backgrounds where things were pretty tough. I want to say, have the thought pattern that says, let me make it easier for those that are coming after me. It could be a loved one, it could be a sibling, it could be children, to be able to move from a better place than where you yourself started from. May I challenge you? And in fact, the Zimbabwean way is to say, may I challenge you that if the cycle of poverty has been following you, let it end from you. If your sekuru of sekurus left nothing, sarakwe chimbo, you want to say to yourself, let me be that person that makes it easy for those that are coming after me to have a launch pad, to have a starting point. And if we do that, that will greatly help your cause in the time to come. You want to say to yourself, let the cycle of poverty end with me, and let the cycle of prosperity also begin from me. If we do that, we would have done ourselves and those that are following us an extremely great favor. And so the four pillars of financial planning: lifestyle, living a lifestyle you can afford, having a plan for emergencies, having a plan for retirement, and finally, leaving a legacy for those that we value. Thank you very much. Please be sure to pass this on and share this with family and friends. These are the things you put in family WhatsApp groups. These are the things you send to people who are always borrowing money from you. And that way, all of us can be financially well, and it would work very well for us. Thank you very much for listening. Cheers.